Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Guillermo Amaral joins me. We're going to be talking about SQL Pro. It's a macOS interface to your MySQL database. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for TWiT's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make TWiT even better. And thanks for your continued support.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Guillermo Amaral. Episode 423, recorded February 28th, 2017, SQL Pro. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by GoCD, an on-premise, open-source, continuous delivery server by ThoughtWorks. GoCD gives you complete control of and visibility into your deployments across multiple teams. To learn more about GoCD, visit gocd.io/twit for a free download. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneAge.com, and bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, little projects, projects you may be using every day and totally unaware of it. I love it when we can do something like that. Projects you may want to download right after this show and play with. This might be one of those today. Joining me today, all the way from the other land down under. This is not going to work very well, but we've got Guillermo. Guillermo Amaral, welcome back.
Hey, crikey.
And the reason I'm saying that is you're down under the U.S. in Mexico, but our guest today is actually phoning in all the way from Cairn, Australia. Abhi Beckert is going to be talking to us about MySQL Pro, which is the thing he's been working on for quite a while. SQL Pro. Boy, I tell you, this is obviously I should be looking at my notes while I'm doing this show. So you're speaking to us from under the U.S., and I'm speaking to you from Lacey, Washington, for one of the last couple times I'm going to be here, moving all my stuff out of my brother's place and moving back to Portland primarily for when I'm not down in Santa Monica or any place else like that. So we're having a good time. So let's talk a little bit about SQL Pro. So here's what I understand it to be so far, which is that basically you've got a MySQL database and you're running it on OS X. Sorry for all you people who are Linux and Windows guys. But if you're running it on OS X, you have a really cool tool available to you, which is what today's subject is about, SQL Pro, because it's going to be a nice GUI for your MySQL database. And Abhi's been working on it for quite a while, and it's all open source. And we wanted to talk about where it's gotten to so far and what else he needs in terms of people and things like that. So, Guillermo, what do you know about this so far?
Well, I actually saw this before the show, not like recently. I was looking for something for a client who wanted an easier way to modify their database. I think that was a MariaDB database or something. Okay. And the usually what you use if you just want a GUI, not, you know, you actually work on the console SQL straight like I usually do. Is like MySQL Workbench or something, which wasn't actually working for them. So I started looking into something like this, and I bumped into the software. I just wasn't able to use it since it's macOS only. I would like to see exactly what this, you know, this puppy can do, if it's way better than the MySQL Workbench or not.
And you know, I just realized I'm still calling it OS X, even though now the official title is macOS. So I'm going retrain myself. What's iOS and macOS and Apple TV OS or whatever, and Watch OS? I guess everything is an OS at the end. But that's so yeah. Now, and I'm much more comfortable in the command line as well. And so for my primary client, ZipRecruiter, we have a huge MySQL database. But it sounds like if I was reading the instructions properly, I can even do SSH tunneling with this, so I can actually connect to it from remote, which would be good because that means I can probably talk directly to my dev database and things like that. So And we're going to get into all that in just a few minutes. We're going to bring Abby on, but I do have a very important message before we do that, because this episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by GoCD. GoCD is the on-premise, open-source, continuous delivery server created by ThoughtWorks. With GoCD's comprehensive pipeline modeling, you can model complex workflows across multiple teams with ease. With its parallel and sequential execution, GoCD can easily configure dependencies for fast feedback and on-demand deployment. The value stream map lets you track a change from commit to deploy at a glance. GoCD's real power is the visibility it provides over your end-to-end workflow, so you get complete control of and visibility into all your deployments across the organization. GoCD also offers complete customization for your software's individual needs. GoCD will perform tests written in the most languages or frameworks. Their test reporting will tell you exactly which change set and on which platform a test started breaking. Say goodbye to deployment panic and hello to consistent, predictable deliveries. GoCD is the best continuous integration and deployment tool you've probably never heard of. To learn more about GoCD and for a free download, visit gocd.io/twit. That's gocd.io/twit. Commercial support and enterprise add-ons, including disaster recovery, are also available. And we thank GoCD for their support. So let's go ahead and bring on Abby. Abby, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Randall. How are you?
Hi. And you're calling to us from down under, the other down under, not Mexico. What the hell was I thinking?
The real what time down is
it there? Yeah, what time is it there for
you? It's about 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is dedication. This is absolutely dedication. I appreciate you waking up in the middle of the night and drinking the largest coffee cup that I've ever seen to try to get a little bit on top of this thing. So, yeah, here we go. If you're watching the video, he was definitely drinking from this very, very large cup. Because almost everything in Australia is bigger. I remember the few times I've been able to go down there, and I miss it now. Probably never get to see it again. But that's another long story I don't need to go into. So give us a 30,000-foot view. What is SQL Pro, and what problem is it solving? Did I characterize it fairly well?
Yeah, you did. It's mostly a development tool for debugging a dev database, or, you know, trying to find a bug on the production server occasionally. And some people use it for other things like backups or, you know, reporting and that sort of thing. But mostly it's just a developer tool.
Okay, so we're talking to a MySQL database, either running on my laptop or maybe running in the cloud somewhere?
Yeah, so I use it to connect to a database on a virtual machine on my laptop and also on the cloud as well.
Okay, and so what am I looking at when I'm looking at this thing? It's a GUI, obviously, and it's running on now I know Mac OS. what am I looking at? What are my options and things there?
So you'll get a list of tables on the left and the database structure, or browse the content with a nice search box, or you can type SQL straight in with syntax highlighting and autocomplete and all those nice things.
So it's letting me know that I have, you know, 150 different tables defined, and then I can click on one of those, and it lets me know, like, what the column definitions are?
Yeah, and you can just double-click on the column to rename it or change the type to a different one or add a new column. It's all quite easy.
Now, how is this working behind the scenes? Is it acting like a normal client to MySQL? Does the MySQL database know that anything's different about this client as opposed to a command line client?
We just connect with the C library for MySQL. I'm not actually sure how that works.
Magically,
I haven't looked at the code in a long time. Somebody else wrote that.
Okay. It works magically. Well, then let's talk about the history then. How did this get started? And wasn't there anything already in this space before that?
There are a lot of tools. Like, there's MySQL Workbench from Sun, or now Oracle, but I think that's a bit buggy. I haven't used it in a few years. And about 10 years ago, there was a project called Coco MySQL, which was sort of not really finished and abandoned by the developer, unfortunately. And I tried to fix some bugs and couldn't get hold of him, so I made a fork. And yeah, then other people got involved and the project became a lot bigger.
Okay, and so yeah, I think I remember Coco MySQL, actually, because I was sort of playing around with MySQL from a previous client. Was that open source as well? And then you took that code base and worked from it, or what?
Yeah, we started directly with their code base, and initially just changed the name because I couldn't get hold of them for commit access. And we're still using all of their code pretty much, and we've just added to it.
Well, I'm hoping the license was fairly liberal then, right?
Cocoa MySQL was GPL, but we're now MIT licensed. We got permission from everybody over a period of about a year.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that would be MIT's a little freer license. I know I'm gonna upset so many people with this show, because first I'm talking about Mac OS, then I'm talking about MySQL, which some people hate anyway, and then I'm going to be talking about licenses that I like rather than licenses that most people like. So yeah, okay, so it's MIT license. That's great. So the project is useful and usable right now. Actually, we got a question from the chat room here. Emily Strage wants to know, will it show you the command that it's used to create the table on the screen somewhere?
Yeah, you can bring up a log of all the MySQL commands that have been executed and filter it to every command or just the ones that modify the database. And
Okay. And does it also deal with, say, being able to quickly trace through foreign key references?
Sorry, I'm not sure what you mean exactly.
Oh, well, okay, so table A has a foreign key to table B. Can I click on the column in table A to get me to table B?
You can if there's a foreign key constraint, although yeah. I don't think many people use that feature.
Yeah, I've noticed that about most MySQL installations. It's because it took InnoDB to be able to do that. The original MyISAM tables were completely devoid of any kind of foreign key respect. So am I using this to develop and deploy my database, my initial database, or am I more using this sort of forensically to look at somebody's existing database and I don't understand all the pieces of it?
You can do both. It's pretty similar to the command line MySQL client. You can basically do anything that you could do in there.
Okay. And what's your motivation for playing with this right now? What's keeping you interested in this project?
Well, at my day job, I work on a fairly large database and I run SQL Pro all day long. That's my motivation.
Okay, and so Emily also asks, is this just to make SQL easier to use? It sounds like it's just a GUI for it.
Yeah, that's right. It's just a nice, easy to use, efficient GUI, and it handles things like text encoding a lot better than the command line client as well.
Just a little question, though. Can you maybe say what the difference is between this and, let's say, like the MySQL workbench, what the differences would be if they do the same thing, or does this do something better?
It's a little bit simpler, but mainly it's just a native interface. So MySQL workbench is quite old and it's a bit hard to figure out where everything is. And I think it can be a bit unstable at times, especially around a new macOS release. Sometimes workbench doesn't work for a few weeks or months.
I've actually had that happen. I mentioned that before. A client of mine was trying to actually go in and modify their old WordPress installation, reset the password or something, and they couldn't do it, from the console. So I tried to look for an alternative to them for Workbench, since it would not even start on Windows 10, I think, which is unfortunate. Are you planning on releasing this on anything else besides macOS?
We don't have any plans. I looked into a Linux version, but that would require the GNU Step libraries, which they're not really stable enough at this point. Hopefully they improve that at some point.
What language is this written in, though?
It's all Objective-C.
Oh, that's the limit.
With a little bit of C++ for the low-end code.
Okay, good. And are you planning on actually making a mobile client for this at some point?
I'd like to, but we don't have enough developers to take on a large project like that.
How many people are working on the project right now, then?
There's about half a dozen people working as part of the core team, and then we get random contributions from dozens more people.
Okay. And we've only mentioned MySQL. Is this really limited only to MySQL syntax, or can you use SQLite or any other SQL-based engine?
right now it's only MySQL or MariaDB, and we'd like to add PostgreSQL and maybe SQLite as well for the next release for version 2, which is going to be a lot of work. We have to refactor all of our code.
All right. So maybe you can talk about how the workflow works in your application here. You mentioned you use this for work normally, right? So are you just going in modifying, a line in a row in a table, or are you creating new tables? Are you migrating things? What do you think the best use case for the application is?
Personally, it's a website that I'm working on with a large database, and when I'm writing the code for the website, I'll look into connect to the database to test any queries that I need to write, and just browse the database mostly. But it can also be used for modifying the database and so on, although I tend to use other tools for that.
Okay, and I mentioned migration. Would I be able to use this to migrate a database from an older version of MySQL into, let's say, a new development server we're working on or a new production server? Would it be easy to restore an old backup, or is there a way to modify backups in the GUI?
You can export to SQL or CSV and then import again, but that's as far as it goes.
All right. So what about data? If I want to upload something, let's say, probably not the best idea, especially for MySQL, but let's say I want to have a file database and want to store blobs in there. Does this application actually make it easier for me to do that, or is that still taboo?
You can do it. As you said, I wouldn't recommend that. But it does have a large binary column, you can edit the fields with a file chooser and insert the data from a file on your local computer.
All right. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what are you planning to do with this application, let's say, around this year. Is there anything special you want to add in, a new feature you're working on maybe?
Right now, we're just maintaining it. MySQL 8 has just come out, and there's some new features being added all the time, as well as MariaDB, like JSON columns are not something we don't support at the moment. But aside from that, the main thing we're working on is Postgres support, which is our number one request from the community.
So this is written in Objective-C running on macOS. I don't know much about the development process for that. So you have IDEs for that, and you have to learn all the interface calls that macOS provides. And I'm sure actually a lot of our audience is not familiar with macOS development. So can you talk a little bit more about what that's like?
So we use Xcode, which is a similar IDE to Eclipse. And yeah, it's just a standard IDE for Objective-C, which is based on the C language, with some extra syntax added for object-oriented programming. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it's at least part of an answer for what I wanted to get to. But so you're interfacing with something that looks like Eclipse. So you've got code completion support syntax highlighting, syntax error checking, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and a debugger and all those features that you'd expect.
And actually, we've got a good question from the chat room right now, which is, are there any plans on, Micro brings this up, so are there any plans to convert to Swift?
We don't have any need to convert to Swift, although we might start using it for new code at some point. Swift is one of my favorite languages.
Okay, cool. Are you spending more time like just using this, or are you still tinkering with it, developing it, day by day, hour by hour?
For me, it's pretty stable and does everything I need, but I spend sort of a lot of my spare time on the issue tracker, helping people with any bugs they run into or trying to reproduce edge case issues. And I develop SQL Pro one day a week
Okay.
Yeah.
And what has been your most complicated challenge in creating a tool like this?
It's been fairly smooth. The real difficult issue we're having is we need to move to PostgreSQL, and all of the interface code is tied directly to the MySQL library. So that's going to be a lot of work to refactor everything to support two different databases. And also it's occasionally a problem with different versions of MySQL having different features. So having support for two databases will help the MySQL side as well once we refactor all of that code.
And so you would do something to talk to your production database or to a remote database. Would you use something like an SSH tunnel for that?
Yeah, so the GUI has an option to do an SSH tunnel. You just type in your server username, password, maybe a public key file, and it just automatically creates a tunnel for you and connects over MySQL that way.
Does it have any capability of taking two different databases and doing some sort of differential comparison on the schemas?
That's something we'd like to add in future, maybe after Postgres support has been implemented.
Yeah, and hopefully a MySQL to Postgres push a button too. It would be really good. I know many places I'd really love to have that happen, but it's a little bit tricky. And obviously it's hard when you have an OLTP, you know, it's like, okay, now how do we do this while we're live? You know, very, very difficult stuff. What are your challenges with this? I mean, the project sounds mature, sounds like it's working. You're looking for Postgres support. Are you looking for particular people to help you with this, particularly people that understand Objective-C or Swift and understand Postgres?
Yeah, we'd love to have people who understand Objective-C and use Postgres every day. That's one of the issues, is we don't have anybody on the team who actually uses Postgres. So if there's anybody out there who does, that'd be great to have them on board.
Cool. I use Postgres every day, except I'm not, I don't know anything about Objective-C yet. So I'm trying not to learn too many more languages. I'm learning Dart instead. I think I'm going to stick with that. I've completely lost my train of thought again. Has this project always been yours? I mean, after the Cocoa MySQL fork, has it always been yours?
I've always been involved, but there's several other people who do a lot of programming. Other people who've done more of the code than me.
Okay. There's the question. The testing. What kind of testing are you able to do with this? Does Objective-C have a good test framework support?
It does. We don't use it anywhere near as heavily as we should.
The typical open source project. I can tell already. Yes. We actually have a question, I guess, from the chat room again. MySQL 8 support, is that already planned or is that already in place?
We have an issue on GitHub tracking that. As far as we know, it should work reasonably well, but we don't support any of the new MySQL 8 features aside from manually typing SQL in and viewing the results.
Okay. And so actually, I want to get back to that data loading question for a second here. So is it reasonable to say take a CSV file and throw it into the database directly from the GUI?
Yeah, it is. And we even have a nice wizard that will show you your data and let you set this, you know, match the columns if the names don't match perfectly and do some basic data transforms with date time formats and that sort of thing.
How about
CSV support works reasonably well.
How about
we don't
JSON?
Do JSON at the moment.
Yeah. So how do you do hierarchical data? Dump that, or can you?
This is a relational database, Randall.
But there's still one to many relationships that look nicely for JSON. Come on.
Yeah, we don't have good support for JSON at this point. It is definitely on the list of things that we need to do. We're using JSON a lot in my database and my day job.
Okay. So JSON support would be interesting. Postgres support would be interesting. Is there anything else sort of in the short-term roadmap that you're looking for?
Those are the two big things right now that we're working on.
How about documentation or internationalization?
So we're localized in about 7 languages, and there's another 15 or so that are partially done. And we have a website where people can work on that.
How does that work under macOS? Are there tools for internationalization for translations and stuff?
So there's Apple's API provides a strings file that has the English string and then the German string next to it with some basic syntax. But we have a web GUI where you can view all of the translations for each one, and we allow, you know, anyone who's approved to come in and type in their translations, and you can also vote for which one makes more sense if there are multiple proposals for the same string.
Are you using any open source tools to do that?
We're not, no.
So you have proprietary software that's doing the translation for you or helping you translate?
No, it's just a thing that we've home-rolled ourselves. If anybody wants the source code, I'd be happy to share it, although it's not very nice. I'd like to switch to a better tool, to be honest. It's not particularly good.
I think we've had a few actually on this show over the years. None of the names come to mind though, because it's still too early in the morning even for me. I know I have the advantage on you, but it's still early in the morning. So you've got things that you're working towards. Maybe I'm looking more at what. So your biggest challenges, you've just talked about your biggest challenges: translation, documentation. Do you have a desire to have more people be using this and contributing to it rather than just using it as an end user?
You can never have too many contributors to a project. That would allow us to make faster progress on things like Postgres and other features that we'd love to have at some point. But to be honest, the project is mostly stable, and for most people should do everything that they need. So anybody out there who has a MySQL database, just jump in and use it. And if you have any problems, jump on the issue tracker and send through a pull request if you're able to.
Okay. And if there's a input box, right? Is there a SQL assistance provided while typing in just a raw SQL command?
Yeah, there's a built-in, you can bring up documentation for the keyword that you've just typed into the text field, or there's autocomplete for the column names and basic MySQL syntax. And when you run the query, you'll get a nice error message with, you know, it'll tell you what line the syntax error was on and all that sort of thing. It's a fairly good editor for just typing SQL in.
So what can the command line do that you can't do with the GUI?
Honestly, you can do pretty much everything from the GUI that you could do from the MySQL command line.
Okay. Actually, we had somebody say there's an issue with stored procedures. Is that because of the MySQL 8 stuff?
Stored procedures should be working reasonably well. We don't have a GUI to edit stored procedures at the moment.
Ah, I see. So the rest of the question was, I should have looked at the whole question, is what's the priority given to closing issues? Are some listed as bugs that are still open since 2013?
Some of those, yeah, we just, you know, it's an open source project. People work on whatever they think is most important. We also migrated all of our bugs from Google Code to GitHub at some point, and some of the really old bugs might actually have been closed. It's a little bit of a mess with the older issues.
And so this is, you're using this every day in your day job, but how is this project going to be funded somehow? Is this just going to be a labor of love for you forever, or do you want to eventually have like commercial support? I guess a hosted solution would be useful, but where are your goals for that?
At the moment we're donation funded, so we get, you know, a handful of donations each day from users, especially businesses that have employees working with it every day. And I get a small amount of money each week for that, so that I can take one day off work at my day job to work on this. But we're not really trying to turn this into a business or anything. The only purpose of the donations is so that I can spend more time on it, or anybody else, if somebody else wanted to take over my role, I wouldn't be opposed to that. We don't really have any formal non-profit or anything like that set up.
Is this on the Mac App Store? Could I just download it from there?
No, it's not. Although somebody did upload it there once without permission. About a year ago, that was interesting. We just got a notification on Twitter, hey, Sequel Pro is on the Mac App Store. What? Who did that?
Is there a reason not to have it there? It seems like it'd be easier for people to install, especially if they're more end user people, right?
Yeah, there are some sandboxing issues. You can't connect to a MySQL socket from the Mac App Store. Some small issues like that. That's the only reason we haven't done it yet. But we will probably add it to the Mac App Store at some point in the future.
Well, then wait, how did the version that got uploaded even work at all then?
I don't think it did work especially well. If you connect to MySQL over TCP, it works fine. I think the developer just didn't test that.
That's pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing. What got you? How did you learn Cocoa programming? Where did you come from that was something that you found like you wanted to do?
It was just a hobby of mine as a teenager. That's when I started working on SQL Pro. When I was around 14 years old, I was working as a hobby on SQL Pro and at my day job developing websites. And, you know, we had WordPress databases that I needed to connect to. And I was using Cocoa MySQL for that, but it had bugs, which, yeah, I jumped in and fixed them. That's how I got involved initially.
You know, I'm trying to look. Go ahead.
No, that's right. You go.
Yeah. I'm just trying to see. Okay, we've defined what it is. We've defined how the project works. We've talked a little bit about how you would use it. What are we leaving out? Is there anything else that you want to talk about in terms of SQL Pro that you want to make sure our audience is aware of?
I guess I just want to get the word out there and maybe find some more Postgres developers to get involved and help us with that effort. Yeah.
Okay, so the big things, just to recount them again. So maybe a little more translation help, Postgres, so you can do the whole back-end stuff, get that all worked out. Documentation. Anything else that you're looking for? Yeah.
Users would be good to help us find bugs and fix them. They're always nice.
Okay.
We have a 90 build server or an automated build server on the website where you can download a test build and for the latest commit to GitHub, and that updates automatically whenever someone pushes a new change. So the more people who run those would be wonderful to, you know, find bugs and report back.
Have you had problems as macOS, macOS, like, okay, as that's progressed up through the various releases over the last few years, has that been a problem for you in porting this?
It's every now and then. It's more the developer tools that we have problems with rather than the macOS itself. So sometimes a new version of Xcode will require changes for your code, and because some of our code is 15 years old, you know, we're using some deprecated methods here and there and deprecated syntax for some of our code. So sometimes that can require a bit of porting. But generally, once something's a binary, it still works forever on macOS without any too many issues.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And it's been really wonderful using macOS as my desktop operating system, because things just keep seeming to work. You know, although I upgraded from 10.9 to 10.12 just recently, and I had a few things that really broke badly, so I had to actually buy some more commercial software, which now I'm going to offend another third of my audience. Yes, not everything I run is open source. I'm sorry, people. I have stuff that needs to get done. So, yes, I'm going to get so much hate mail on this show. All right. No. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Because I am, at the end of the day, I got to get stuff done. You know, as much as I believe in the open source principles and things like that, and keep talking to people all over the world about this stuff all the time, I still, at the end of the day, I need to have, you know, OmniGraffle and OmniTool, the thing that tells me what I'm doing today, OmniToDo, whatever it is. I have to have all that stuff because that's what maintains my row there. If you've got
that
a second.
In Emacs.
Sorry, what?
You can't do all your to-do tracking in Emacs?
No, it's not as cool. It's not as pretty. and it doesn't slave down to to my iPhone correctly. See, now, again, another group of people are not going to be mad at me because I use an iPhone and not an Android phone. I think I'm going to have to shut up here pretty quick. But, you know, I think we've covered the bases, and I appreciate you waking up at, you know, 2 a.m. to be able to come and talk about your project because, you know, it might be that there is a perfect niche for which this is a filling, and we have now talked to them, I'm sure, pretty well. So, somebody asks, Micro said, is there any automation via AppleScript?
No, not really. We do have a built-in plugin feature where people can write scripts in any shell scripting language, Perl, Ruby, whatever, and integrate that with our GUI. That's how we do scripting mostly.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool. So I could actually use Perl with this thing. Nice. Nice. I mean, that's going to be my first go-to as well. And I actually have to ask you the two final questions before we let you go, and that is, so your favorite scripting language is?
Swift, definitely.
That's a scripting language? You can actually write pound bang shell commands in it?
Yeah, you can just hash bang user bin Swift, I think it is, and type your code and run it. It works.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. I think you can do the same thing with Objective-C too, but probably a little bit harder.
It's a bit harder. It's a bit harder.
Yep. Okay, yeah. And the text editor that you spend all day in.
I've never found a text editor that I like. at one point, I wrote my own, and that was actually the. But at the moment, I'm using BBEdit. I'm using BBEdit these days.
BBEdit's not bad. I've met the creator of that. I forget his name, but I know on one of the cruises, he was definitely a big player there. So I actually installed it. I have it sitting around somewhere, but nothing ever gets used for much of anything. So Avi, thank you for waking up in the middle of the night and talking to our audience. Yeah, very, very good. That was Avi Becker talking to us about SQL Pro. What did you think there, Guillermo?
I'm not too sure he's actually Australian. I didn't hear any accent.
Well, I heard a bit of an accent.
Not too much. Yeah, but you know, they have all these sayings and stuff in Wallabies and stuff. I was expecting more.
Oh, you were expecting more language change rather than just the tonality change. There was definitely the tonality change. I could definitely detect that. Definitely. You know, and I appreciate that, you know, we do have guests that are willing to get up in the middle of the night to be able to be on this show. I definitely appreciate that. And it sounds like, you know, if you're on OS X, if you're on Mac OS and you're talking to MySQL, either locally or remotely, and you want a GUI, something that will enhance your ability to interact with MySQL and eventually hopefully Postgres. So Postgres people, please jump up to this because it's going to be much more interesting. Then this looks like the perfect project for that. And it's, you know, free as in beer. And it's also open source, so you can help contribute to it, help, you know, more documentation, more contributions there. And again, please hurry up and make it Postgres so that I can use it too. That would be really fun because I'm always trying to do things. Although pgAdmin is going to be a hard bar to beat. You know, that's pgAdmin's pretty extensive, actually, from the times that I've actually played with it. So anything more, Guillermo, before I tell who's coming up?
Yeah, something I would like to mention is that if you are actually working on something like a development server or a production server, and this would probably take all the hassle that comes along with actually creating an SSH tunnel to connect to that server and everything else, that you really can't tell a client, for example, to install and set up and everything. It would make it a lot easier, not just the GUI aspect, but, you know, the actually getting to the database. I do see a point in having a tool like this, especially for somebody who's not willing to learn SSH and shell commands and everything else. So, yeah, it's an interesting project.
Well, and another thing I can see for this, and in fact, I may just download this after this show and actually start playing with it with my client's database, is that I know the Postgres syntax perfectly. I mean, I've been using this for decades now, as long as Postgres has been around. But I'm always frustrated trying to remember, oh, yeah, it's show tables, and then out comes something, and then I'm trying to remember the non-standard syntax that Monty and his crew came up with when developing MySQL. And so this would be nice to actually, take away that, make my MySQL access a bit more idiot-proof for some of the clients that happen to choose MySQL. Please, if you're working on a new project, do not choose MySQL. Choose Postgres, okay? Please, Postgres down, please. Anyway, enough of that. Or one of the NoSQL solutions, that's perfectly okay too. And that, then JSON would be important. It's true. Anyway, so let's talk about who's coming up. Also a short list, but I'll explain it why in a minute. Next week, we do have, we'd like to do an annual OSCON preview show to tell who's going to be at OSCON, what's new and unusual this year. So we've got a couple people from the OSCON team that's going to be on this show next week. Well, also immediately following that, this is a first for us, LibrePlanet. LibrePlanet is the Free Software Foundation's conference that's sort of similar in scope, although a lot cheaper. Well, everything is cheaper than OSCON. I got to say that. OSCON is horribly expensive, but well worth it. I should say that because otherwise my publisher will get mad at me. But LibrePlanet 2017 is coming up. In fact, it's going to be only a couple weeks after we air the show. So I think you may even still have a chance to actually get to, I think it's Boston, where it's going to be this year. Following that, we have SIMP. That's S-I-M-P, all caps. That's the Managed Ecosystem for Secure Operations. It's a bunch of layering on top of Puppet to make sure that when you have data like HIPAA data or PCI data or even things that you just don't want to share your passwords out, it's a way of kind of layer that on top of that, make sure that you're doing the right stuff. We also just had added back to the schedule PG Backrest, speaking of Postgres once again. PG Backrest is Postgres Backup and Restore software. They were originally on the schedule, but I had confused Tuesday for Thursday, and they had committed to a Thursday, and I said, we're not taping on Thursday. So he's back on the schedule again on a Tuesday. Yes, we're having PG Backrest on a Tuesday. No, sorry, that's the wrong song to be singing right now. But anyway, you can see all these people and more on this show, obviously, eventually. But if you want to see what the schedule looks like, we got twit.tv/floss, which is the homepage for the show. If you have any other suggestions, please get the project leader or community coordinator to email me, merlin@stonehenge.com. My address is right there on the page. I'll put them right to the front of the list because we're still looking to try to fill some more slots. It's how it always is. We do have a live stream. We took a few questions from there. 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays at live.twit.tv. You can follow us as Floss Weekly on Google+. Yes, Google+ is still being used by some of the cool kids, so I'm there too. And also tweet it over to @FlossWeekly for the not-so-cool kids. No, for the people that use Twitter instead of Google+, but they are automatically linked together. You can follow me at Randall L. Schwartz on Google+. This is an all-offense show. I'm seeing how many different buttons I can push in one freaking show. That's just, anyway, follow me, Randall L. Schwartz on Google+, and also Merlin, MERLYN, if you can't figure out the Google+ interface. I'm going to be at...
Well, they keep changing it, right?
They do. They keep reminding, oh, now it's the new interface. Yes, right. So if you can figure out how to follow me on Google+, please do. And tell me how you did it, because I don't know anymore. This is crazy. I'm going to be this week. In fact, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to be this week at Scale, the Southern California Linux Expo. And I'm not actually presenting anything, but I'm going to be hanging out everywhere and looking for people to bring on to this show. But if you see me at Scale, please come up and say hi. I'm a Floss Weekly audience member, although I don't know why anymore. But and if you see a particularly interesting thing there, also let me know. Send me an email and say, I saw this really great presentation. Because I can't possibly be at all the presentations. But if you see something really interesting, let me know and I'll contact them on those. Don't worry about those. I'm also going to be at the Yet Another Perl conference on the East Coast. I'm going to be at OSCON in Austin. I just got connected up. I'm going to be at the Red Hat Summit in Boston the week before Austin. So I'm going to fly from Boston to Austin. And I'll try not to get those confused because one's going to be really cold and wet. And one's going to be really, really, really crazily hot. So we'll cover both of those. But I'm going to be the Red Hat Summit again this year. Again, also looking for people for Floss Weekly. Hopefully I'm also going to be at Dragon Con. Still haven't heard back on my guest status there yet. And Fizzlay, although I haven't seen even a call for papers up on Fizzlay yet, except we know the date. It's coming up in July. They better put a call for speakers up pretty soon, but haven't figured out where that is yet. It's not on the website anyway. It's not in the call for papers. It's not there. Anything you want to plug, Guillermo?
Well, I'm not going to be a scale. Unfortunately, this is going to be the first year I haven't attended for a while, in a while. So you'll have to cover me. So you'll drink more beer and such. I'll be in Texas. I'll be in Texas eating brisket this weekend. Okay. But yeah, I guess people, if you want to check my videos out, I do have some videos on YouTube. You can just Google my name. This is the name around here somewhere. That side. There we go. Yeah. And look for me on Twitter. That is at GAMARAL. And I guess that's it. That's everything.
Well, this is, you know, I tell you what, this show is also important because I've been running over by an average of 5 minutes for like the last 12 shows in a row. So we wanted to make this one just a little short so that on average, this show is an hour long, because that is always my target, but sometimes I don't manage to do that. So with having said all that, Guillermo, thank you for stepping in at the last second again and taking care of that. And I didn't get to see this weekend. I was just down your neck of the woods, but I was really, really busy with other people that had come down to hang out with me. So anyway, and also So anyway, Guillermo, thank you much.
No problem, man.
Awesome.
Anytime.
Awesome. And if you're still subscribed next week, we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.